Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Maddie Lee, joined by Joe Masato after the Thunder's 113-104 win at Minnesota. Joe, the Thunder's on a pretty good roll here.
They now have the longest winning streak in the Western Conference at 5 games.
Ayo.
They've won 9 of their last 10 road games.
Ayo.
And and tonight, well, don't do it after this one. Okay. But tonight, it was this one was impressive for a lot of reasons. But I think primarily, one guy you wrote about in Lou Dort, and also a guy I wrote about in Darius Bazley. You had a 19-year-old and a 20-year-old, who both rookies, playing very good basketball.
Yeah, and they started because the Thunder was yet again shorthanded. So. Injury runoff.
Yeah, there's a lot.
So Bazley started because added to the injury list, Danilo Gallinari was out with a sore thumb.
Either a sore thumb or a thumb sore. Take your pick.
A thumb injury. You had Terrence Ferguson is still out due to personal reasons. Abdul Nader, obviously not affecting the starting lineup, but... he's still out with that left ankle sprain. Got Steven Adams back, so he was able to start tonight for the Thunder at center. But Nerlens Noel was out because he had a procedure on his left cheek after finding a fracture there.
Yeah.
It wasn't like... oh, hey,
it's like he found it. I mean, he injured it in the game Friday night and then came back into the game. And I think at one point you saw him like icing his face and he went to the locker room.
There was a chunk of time when he was like, why is Nerlens holding the left side of his face? And then he was on the bench for a little bit with a towel to it, which I assume was wrapping ice.
Yeah.
There's no reason to just hold a towel to your left cheek. But yeah, he came back in and played well.
So yeah, that was a little surprising when the Thunder sent that release this morning that he had surgery on that. It's not, you know, I know not all of the same surgeries are the same as far as the timeline to recovery, but Thunder fans will remember when Russell Westbrook had the same procedure done, different cheekbone, different side of the face, but in 2015, and he came back. He only missed one game. He came back days later. He wore a mask, and he dropped a massive triple-double over the 76ers. He had like 49 points or something like that.
Yeah, so, but don't... if Nerlens doesn't come back...
not setting those
next
expectations.
Game, like, let's not rag on him because, yeah.
A thing that's going to keep him out probably like a month or something.
Though we're supposed to get an update next week on his status.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. But he was out. Naturally, Mike Muscala got those backup center minutes. But we mentioned the young guys who really, I mean, you had the usual suspects like Dennis Schroeder and Chris Paul scoring in bunches, and we will get to them. But... you had, again, 7 guys scoring in double figures. Lou Dort scoring in double figures for the first time. Mm-hmm. And Darius Bazley putting up 15 points.
Yeah, career high, small sample size, obviously, for Lou Dort. Darius Bazley's career high was 17. He had 15 tonight, so right around that. Bazley also had 6 rebounds. Dort had 2 really big steals kind of to bookend his big game. So they... and they both shot the ball well. Bazley was 5 of 6. Yep. Dort was 3 of 5.
I think a lot of that comes back to what Billy Donovan will talk about time and time again with young players, is they have a lot of what they have to do to get over that hump in their rookie year is develop their decision making. And we've seen Lou Dort really struggle from 3 mm-hmm. this season. Granted, like you said, very small sample size, but shooting like 18% from 3 in the NBA. In the G League, obviously different league, different level, he's shooting 33%. But he's really struggled from the 3-point line here, and I think a lot of that has to do with that decision-making. Like, if he gets a catch-and-shoot open corner three, take it. But he's so good at driving to the basket, and he can barrel through people, and he and a good finisher, especially for a young guy. And so he needs to figure out what that balance is between taking threes, when he should drive, when he should pass. I think he did a really good job of that tonight.
I think Darius Bazley, you could almost, everything that you just said, you could almost say it about Bazley. He had those couple surprising dunks in that first half where the lane basically cleared out and he just took his guy off the dribble and finished with the dunk. And Nick Gallo said on the broadcast that some of the older players were giving him a hard time for some soft finishes around the rim, and Bazley clearly took care of that tonight.
They were not soft.
They were not soft finishes.
For sure.
And then just to show, you know, the different levels of his game, at times he struggled a little bit from three. He only took two of them tonight, but the one he made came in the third quarter. The Timberwolves were on a 9-0 run. They had made three consecutive threes, cut the Thunder's lead to two at the time, I think. And Bazley just stepped up and made a three. And then he also had another run-stopping layup in the fourth quarter. And, you know, we've seen some good blocks out of him. We've seen some good defense. It's not always that his contributions are coming on the offensive end, but tonight, some really timely offense for him and Dort.
Yeah, and you've got to love... I mean, you've got to love dunks in general just because they're exciting. But I think there is actual value to big finishes like that in just kind of injecting energy into the game, and it can make a moment seem bigger and certainly get your teammates fired up.
Lou also had a big dunk tonight.
He did.
So,
he
yeah,
did.
Both
that
those
was
guys.
Massive. And then we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about Hamidou Diallo, who also had very efficient scoring night tonight. He did not take any threes, but he was 5 of 6 from the field. And another guy who finished in double digits, 10 points for him. And really rounding out that young group and coming off the bench and keeping both the defense and offense very strong.
And how about this? A night after, yep, this was just a night ago that we last saw this team play. Tommy had 9 and 9, and we made jokes that it's like the best single or whatever Barry said, giving me a hard time for saying he almost had a double. Tonight he had 10 and 10.
Hey,
he got the
double.
So how about that?
Just barely.
But that's very impressive. He's
really
had 19
is.
And 19 in his last two games combined.
Very impressive. And I mean, you just talked about affecting the game and multiple levels. I sound like Billy Donovan.
He's rubbing off on us.
We've talked to him a lot this year. But yeah, when you can grab 10 rebounds, and we've talked before about how when guards grab, A, nice to have the rebound. B, when guards are grabbing rebounds sometimes, especially with point guards, because they can just take it out in transition, but still, you get to essentially skip a step, and you get back out and transition faster when you have a guy who can handle the ball with the ball. So, and generally they're grabbing those rebounds from longer shots. So you also get you're already physically ahead, right? Because you're further away from the basket than a big guy going up and grabbing something right off the glass.
Yeah. Billy's talked about this, how like he loves when, specifically a guy like Shea, who's been right. getting so many rebounds. He had 7 more tonight. He's able to start that fast break. Hami's obviously so athletic and get out in transition. 10 rebounds led the team by 3 rebounds. I mean, Shea was second with 7. And I know we briefly mentioned Steven Adams at the top, but he played 23 minutes tonight. He had 0 points, and he only had 1 rebound. So it was nice to see those guards help out on that rebounding front.
And then the Timberwolves finished the game with just 7 offensive rebounds, which has been an area where teams have really hurt the Thunder. Granted, Timberwolves have been struggling. This is their 9th straight loss. But, I mean, when you're going up against a guy like Karl-Anthony Towns, nice to keep him to just 2 offensive rebounds.
Yeah, and Towns has had crazy rebounding numbers. I mean, sometimes it's not surprising to see him haul in 20 rebounds. He had 8 tonight, but he scored the ball quite well. He had 37 points, 4 of 9 from 3, 13 of 23. He had 19 of the Timberwolves' 22 points in the first quarter. He had 24 of their 48 at halftime. You know, people sometimes get on him because he doesn't play great defense. He probably doesn't, or else this team would be better. But I just, watching the Timberwolves just confuses me, because you see how elite Karl Anthony Towns is. You can see what Wiggins does on a good night. Robert Covington's a good 3-and-D guy. They've got some young guys like Okogie, Jarrett Culver, a rookie. Shabazz Napier had a triple-double tonight. Don't expect that. But, like, they shouldn't be a team that loses.
That doesn't happen every night?
Does not happen every night. Almost had one before Kawhi Leonard.
I made
the same joke. Well, it's a bad joke if it's even a joke.
It's a great joke.
But, like, why are they this bad?
I have no.
They're ahead of the Warriors in the West. That's it.
And, like, after their coaching change last year, they got kind of a little kick, and it seemed like they were getting momentum and kind of rallying around Coach Saunders, and I'm gonna call him Flip, his dad. I don't know.
It's just not something's not coming together for them. Like, they're drastically underperforming, and this was a team that, you know, when that December 15th date hit, when we did all the, like, oh, here's what the trade situation might look like. And a lot of people at the time are mentioning, like, Minnesota could be interested in Chris Paul, Dennis Schroeder. Like, they need a point guard.
As they're making a playoff push.
And they're 15-31 now. I mean, they're not going to make the playoffs, and they don't need guys like that, because they really have no shot, very, very little shot to get that eighth seed in a wide open West.
Yeah, it's wild. They're in the group where, I mean, but a lot of the teams who have dropped pretty drastically from where we thought they'd be have had a ridiculous number of injuries, like Golden State, who is last in the West with just 10 wins. The Timberwolves are just above them. Timberwolves haven't had the type of injury. Yeah. No one's had
Towns missed some times, but still, he's been back and they've lost 9 in a row.
Right. And it's not, I guess it's not fair to say they haven't had the type of injuries that the Warriors have, because no one has. But it's head scratching.
Yeah. They're also 6-17 at home. Minnesota fans have seen 6 home wins this year.
Brutal.
That's the Warriors have 7 home wins, to put that in context. They're worst in the West at home.
Sorry.
Anyway,
sorry
to
Minnesota.
Just spontaneously jump on the Timberwolves there, but like, the Thunder was, we talked about the injuries at the top. You're without Gallinari. You're without Noel. Adams is clearly not at 100%. The Timberwolves should be one of the most desperate teams in the conference. And then the Thunder, if not for a lopsided fourth quarter, the Thunder were blowing them out.
You do have to give Kat a lot of credit, though, because, A, obviously we just went over his insane night. We thought after the first quarter, we're like, do we have to start looking up his career highs? He did not get close, but 37 points, still impressive, and he was battling through some bumps and bruises. You saw he went down at one point and was holding his left wrist. It looked like that was really bugging him, but he stayed in, and then he looked like he was maybe limping at one point. So even though he only had Steven Adams on him part of the time, he definitely got banged up tonight and still played 35 and a half minutes and put the scoring effort on his back. I mean, the rest of his teammates ended up stepping up after that first quarter. It wasn't just him providing offense, but he and Wiggins led the team by far.
It's a little silly to say that it, like, could have been worse than 37 points, but even though Steven Adams didn't contribute offensively, I think just his presence in there for 23 minutes, like, if he wasn't healthy and with Nerlens out tonight, and Justin Patton, I mean, he could have been playing today had he not been traded to the Mavericks a couple days ago. Like, the Thunder's only center would have been Mike Muscala, and he's not a good option to defend Karl Towns. So, like, just having Adams in there, just as a big body, I think helped a little bit tonight.
As opposed to having Muscala starting and then some combination of Burton, Baisley.
I mean, they would have fed Towns in the post on every possession.
Yeah. And he would have just eaten them alive.
Yeah.
And he still made Steven Adams look silly in some instances. Like,
he's a tough cover. I mean, he just shoots the ball so well from three. Right? We had, like, it looked a little clunky, but he had that, like, step back from the three-point line, and then he dribbles past you. It's like, you don't see that from a seven-footer.
No, no. And like you said, I mean, he's really quick for his size. There was a play where he did a little give and go and got around Adams, and it's like, what do you do as a big center trying to guard that?
Yeah. So good for the Thunder to have Adams back. We'll see if that's, you know, Billy, I think, mentioned after the game that he might not have been 100% in there, which totally makes sense given that he's been out since that fall with Clint Capella and messing up his ankle a little bit. But, you know, talked about bringing it back to the young guys, like Shea. I don't know why I don't group him in with the young guys, because he is, but he was 3 of 14 tonight, did not play well. He had, he was -9 when he was on the floor. So it, again, like, that's why it was so important for the unlikely guys like Dort and Baisley and Diallo to all pitch in.
Right. Shea, between Shea and Steven, who did not score, which is wild.
One rebound is even crazier to me than 0 points.
So between the two of them, they contributed 11 points, a.k.a. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander contributed 11 points. So,
and last time Shea was at Minnesota, he had 20-20-10.
Yeah, that game.
Yeah, that was a game.
So, yeah. Clearly needed other guys to step up offensively, but I promised that we'd get back to Schroeder and Chris Paul. We talked about this during this game, mm-hmm. where I think I looked up, Schroeder has 20, 25 points, something like that, and neither of us were focusing on him in what we were writing. It's like, it's just become so commonplace for him to score over 20 points in the game and lead the bench, and we wrote a bunch about that early in the season because it was a interesting phenomenon. He was doing it so consistently, which we haven't seen before, but he's still doing it so consistently, and so you kind of expect it.
Yeah, I mean, when you're scoring as well as he does, like, 26 doesn't really stand out as much as it should. And, like,
regular game,
it led the team. He had, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 8 of 19. He was 4 of 6 from 3, which is a great mark for anyone, but especially him. So, yeah, Dennis Schroeder, 31 minutes. He was very good tonight. The Thunder bench outscored the Timberwolves 52-20, and he was responsible for half of those. I'm not good at math, but 26 times 2 is 52.
It's also remarkable that the Timberwolves bench scored 20 after the start that they had. We're going to stop piling on the Timberwolves. You guys have, those fans have
did
been
we,
through
did
enough.
Did we mention that only one other player scored in the first quarter for them other than Karl Towns?
3 points.
Sorry, ooh. Minnesota.
Ooh. And then Chris Paul being his usual Chris Paul self. 10 assists, 25
Did we
points.
Mention Chris Paul anywhere in, like, what we wrote after the game?
No.
I didn't. He had 25 points, 10 of 18.
I don't even think his name is in my game story.
He had 25 and 10. I mean, he's just so steady. It's unbelievable how well he's playing right now.
It really is. And, you know, came through and scored in bunches late in the game when it was starting to get a little dicey. The Timberwolves made a push to come back. They really did.
Yeah, and his,
also after it was close early on too. just because Karl Anthony Towns was scoring out of his mind.
And but Chris Paul was up to his... I don't think it was quite close enough for some of the shots that he made to count toward that clutch time stat that we've referenced about him leading the NBA in total points in that time. But he still made some really clutch fourth quarter mid-range shots.
Yeah, so he had 6 points in the fourth. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander actually had 7, so finished strong. And
it's even crazier that he only had 4 points going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, yeah. And then Dennis Schroeder had 5. So those guys really did the bulk of the scoring. Darius Bazley had 2 as well. And that accounts for all of the fourth quarter. So
there's no way to like quantify this, but I think like just watching Chris Paul for a little more than half a season now with this team, I feel like this game could have easily been like a setup for disappointment. You're without some of your key guys. Both teams are on a back-to-back, but, you know, Thunder were obviously traveling. Minnesota was at home for both of those games. And I think with Chris Paul, it's just like he doesn't allow for that sort of stuff.
He's such a steadying force. And we saw that in preseason when he sat out for the last 2 games and the Thunder had played surprisingly well in their first 2. And then in the second 2, mistakes just kept compiling. It was like as soon as things started going wrong, then the Thunder started going away from the ball movement principles that they were really trying to. And this is a team that has never played together before, so that's completely understandable with 9 new guys. But for whatever reason, when Chris Paul was in there, they kind of stuck to those principles and they stuck with the ball movement and looked really good. And then the first game that he was out, it just snowballed really quickly.
Yeah. Speaking of being out, Chris Paul has not missed a game this year for the Thunder. And you've seen guys like Gallinari who, again, maybe his thumb is hurt, but Gallinari hasn't played on the second night of a back-to-back in quite some time. Chris Paul is not resting at all. He's been in there every game. He's on pace to far surpass his games played from the last 3 seasons. And the thing I'm interested to see what Chris Paul thinks is, you wrote the mid-season, gave out the like awards and stuff like that, and he said something to the tune of like he thought their record would be better at this point. I wonder if he thinks it would be better than 28-19 right now. Like, I don't know what his expect, like 36-10 like the Lakers are or something like that, but he's got to be, he probably won't say it, but he has to be awfully proud with how he's led this group.
He's got to be. Although I'm pretty sure, because
he said that before too, like earlier in the season, I think.
Right. He said that he thought that they'd win more. And then usually around that answer, he says something about like expecting to win every night. So he might expect them to be at 100.
Yeah. Maybe he thought they'd have 19 more wins at this point and erase all those losses. Yeah.
100%.
That's not surprising.
Percentage.
He's like one of the most competitive people I've ever seen.
And he wins. He is a winner. Like that is well documented. But also a guy who has been, I think a lot of the criticism recently has been about how often he can actually be on the floor. And like you said, I mean, not to jinx anyone, we never want injuries to any player ever, but I mean, he's looking pretty healthy. I mean, he's been healthy this season, which has been an issue in the past couple. When he's played exactly 58
it's the
games
new diet.
In the last, it might be, but isn't we're talking about numbers that guys get stuck at? His 2 years in Houston, he played 58 games in the regular season.
He's at 46 now. I mean, he's well on pace to shatter that 61 the year before. He hasn't played all 82 since 14-15, 74 and 15-16. So tonight was game number 997 for him. So getting close to 1,000 games for Chris Paul.
That's a big one.
It's a big one.
All right. Have any parting thoughts?
No, not really. I could go on and on about what I think of Minnesota, but...
Sorry, I should have said parting shots.
parting shots. Yeah, we should make that a common theme. I think I mentioned at the top, but like winning 9 out of their last 10 on the road, it seems like so long ago that this team was once 0-6.
Terrible road.
They lost their first 6 road games.
I say terrible. Terrible in results. They were playing people close, but yeah.
But they couldn't. The whole narrative was like they get close, but they couldn't get over the hump. And now, I mean, tonight was a pretty dominant win throughout, but they've been a very, very good road team. They're 13-10 on the road. So anytime you're on the high side of 500, I think it's good for being away from home.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know why I thought of this, but I covered MLS for a bit, and in soccer, your goal is always to get anyone who really doesn't pay attention to soccer, you get different points for different outcomes. You get 3 points for a win, 1 point for a tie. And so it was always get 3 points at home, get 1 point on the road. Being on the road is always tough.
Yeah.
And yeah, so if you're...
Especially
you're winning
if
half
you can,
of them.
That's, yeah, and especially if you can take, like tonight is a good example, like take care of the games that you should take care of on the road, and that leaves you a little bit of leeway to lose at places like, you know, LA and, you know, some of the tougher places to play.
Ideally, you get enough of a lead late so that you don't have to have your regular guys in there in the last minutes, and you can get some guys some rest on
that's
the second
not,
night.
That's
of the
not this team's style. This team does not play that way. Only if the Hawks came through like every night.
Right. That generally like helps with, we're just talking about guys playing a lot all season. If you can get them a little rest here and there, that helps.
Yeah, I'm looking at Chris Paul's... Yeah, I mean, he's basically... Not only is he on pace to shatter total games from last season, but... He averaged 32 minutes per game last year, and he's averaging 31.7 this year. So right at that, but playing more total minutes, at least on pace to. So, yeah, this Thunder team, as we have well documented, does not like to play blowout. I'm sure they'd like to play blowout
games. I'm sure
they
would.
It just...
Sure, they could.
They're not suited,
they just don't.
They're not suited to blow people out, and they don't get blown out. So that means that you're not emptying the bench a lot in the last 5 minutes of a fourth quarter. So a lot of minutes for the key guys.
Yeah. All right. That's it. Thank you for tuning in to this edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. And we will see you on Monday after the Dallas game, which
Luca
should be very exciting.